Hello, Marvelites. Welcome to episode number 31 of This Week in Marvel, the official Marvel podcast of news, information, new releases, and summer expansions
Summer loving.
That sounds like a song.
Had me a blast.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, I'm Ryan Panagos, Executive Editorial Director for Marvel's Digital Media Group, joined by
Benjamin Morse, Marvel.com Associate Editor, and it is my pleasure to be joined by
Associate Producer Blake Garris. It's my pleasure as well, Benjamin.
Thank you. And we have another assortment of interns in today. We have Rachel Pittman returning from last week. Rachel.
Hey there.
Nice to see you.
Is that your catchphrase? Hey there?
Let's make it so. Switch it up.
Yeah.
Like, hola, bonjour.
Whoa.
Too much of an international flavor. Let's tamp it down. Also have a newcomer this week. We got rid of Anthony Chubanza. He just was blowing it left and right last
Nightmare
week.
That he was.
Maybe we'll bring him back. But instead, we have Blake's intern, Kristen Maldonado, joining us for the first time. Kristen, hello.
Hello, how are you guys?
We're good. Glad to have you here. How's Blake treating you as a boss?
He's good.
Yeah?
Ha
Did you tell her to say that?
To the listeners, Blake just slipped Kristen a $5 bill, so great.
Which is probably could get him fired.
Yes.
And her fired.
All right, so if you're just joining us on This Week in Marvel, we're going to run through all the comics available digitally and in print for the week. We're going to talk about new releases, from toys to video games, movies, TV. Then we'll go through news and then touch on your questions and comments. And if you want to submit questions or comments, both about the show or just about Marvel, tweet them to us using the hashtag This Week in Marvel. And we'll go through them and address them on a future episode. Let's dive right into it with comics this week.
It is the fifth week of a five-week month, so that means we have a short but sweet selection of comics. For those of you not familiar, we normally work on a four-week publishing plan. So when there's a fifth week in months like May, we kind of rejigger things. You don't get as many books in the fifth week, but fortunately, we have a lot of good books this week, including Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 39, written by our friend Brian Reed, drawn by Lee Garbet. It's a one-shot tale, as annuals tend to be. It is a special bit about Spider-Man at Horizon Labs. Something goes wrong, and basically Spider-Man's wiped out from existence, but he's still around. A little complicated, but, you know, not too complex for comics readers. Basically, Spider-Man is exploring a world that never had Spider-Man, never had Peter Parker, and what happens as a result. He encounters the Avengers, he encounters some people from his past who aren't normally alive, and he begins to weigh kind of, is it better if Spider-Man doesn't exist? Is it better if Peter Parker doesn't exist? It's kind of a really touching story, and the art by Lee Garbet is nice, and it's just a nice one-shot story. You don't need to read anything else to understand it, and really enjoy it. Check out A World Without Spider-Man.
Broke my damn heart.
Broke your damn heart.
Yep.
I enjoy annuals. We talked to Brian Reed on the site a little while ago about this, just how, you know, annuals when we were kids, remember how they used to try to make them all be like massive 24-part storylines. You have like Atlantis Attacks or stuff like that, and they were fun.
The good old days.
But, you know, annuals traditionally have been, you know, how can we tell a really cool tale that stands apart? And this is one instance in which they did it. We have more annuals coming up later this summer, including Thor, Daredevil, Wolverine, Fantastic Four, and of course, we will get to those as we get to them.
Yep. Also this week, we have FF number 18 by Jonathan Hickman with art by Nick Dragota. Great colors by Chris Sotomayor. Another, you know, terrific issue. I think I talk about FF or Fantastic Four every week.
I always throw it right over to you.
Yeah, you can't talk about it. It's not your place.
Not allowed.
Gorgeous, gorgeous art by Dragota. Another great story by Hickman. This one, you have Johnny Storm, taking the Future Foundation under his wing, giving them a little lesson in essentially politics. Really didn't play out how I think he expected it to, the way his lesson was going to be and what he was going to teach them and take the kids to the negative zone, what they were going to do. But it's full of cool moments, really fun, and both expected and unexpected things in the negative zone. I mean, once you get to a certain point, you're like, oh, I was like, yeah, I know it's going to happen. But it was still a great payoff on that last page. Really funny. To be fair, I would have voted for Antar of Moog as well.
He's a strong candidate with his healthcare reform is really second to none.
Yeah. I know Blake is a big Slugos supporter, but, you know, that's not going to get you anywhere in this life. Anyway, you also have an amazingly cool sequence with older Franklin Richards and Black Bolt, which was just really incredible.
I like adult Franklin Richards.
He's so great.
I like him more than when he was Psylord back in the 90s.
I don't remember that.
And he was great as Psylord, don't get me wrong, but...
Tell, what was Psylord's deal?
Psylord's deal was in the mid-90s, Franklin Richards got taken, like the kid Franklin Richards got taken to the future, I believe by his grandfather, Nathaniel, and came back as this armored, basically older teenage superhero called Psylord who had these great mental powers.
Sure.
And that's when we had the book Fantastic Force. And he was the leader of Fantastic Force. It was the first FF spinoff. Tom Brevoort was the editor. Ask him about it sometime. He loves to tell stories about Fantastic Force. I believe he actually became the writer as well at some point. So I can tell you how well that was going. But that was a very interesting time in Fantastic Four history.
Crazy. Yeah, another great FF issue. Love it, love it, love it.
Hulk Smash Avengers wrapped up this week. Our five-week Hulk versus and teaming up with Avengers Limited series. This final issue was written by Fred Van Lente, fantastic art by one of our favorites, Michael Avon Oeming, and this moved to almost the present day, featuring the Mighty Avengers, so the team that was led by Miss Marvel, featuring Ares, the Sentry, Wonder Man, taking on the Red Hulk, General Ross Hulk, who at that point was not known as General Ross. While this is all going on, while they're having a big throwdown, which Oeming does a great job depicting, Tony Stark, Iron Man, is talking with the captive Bruce Banner, who was a prisoner after World War Hulk, basically trying to break down how can we defeat the Red Hulk. And it kind of encapsulates the whole five-issue series as far as Banner's relationship with the Avengers, contrasting it to the Red Hulk's relationship with the Avengers, and, of course, this big conversation between Tony and Bruce Banner, who have had a lot of talks over the course of this series. This is a really fun series. I'm looking forward to the collection. I think it's going to go really well. It's just a series of nice one-shot tales, but also there's some overriding themes. So if you've been picking that book up, definitely check it out. And if you just want to sample this issue, if you're a big fan of Fred Van Lente, Michael Oeming, Red Hulk, Mighty Avengers, any of that, it's a good book for you to check out there too.
All right. In Incredible Hulk number 8, we have the first part of Stay Angry.
I love this issue.
Oh, yeah. By Jason Aaron, Steve Dillon, Frank Martin. We've been talking about Hulk and how good the book's been. Jason Aaron's been doing incredible work. My favorite artist is Steve Dillon.
Yeah.
Just hands down. I love Steve Dillon's work on everything he's done. Everything to me he touches is just incredible. And in this, he draws Hulk. And it's cool because he draws Hulk more like a really big dude as opposed to the gigantic monster.
Well, that's what I was wondering because Steve Dillon, he's a fantastic artist. I love him too. And he's kind of known for, not realistic, but yeah, a little more down to earth. Like, this is normal people, but this is what normal people would look like if they got superpowers and stuff like that. And Hulk is a character who, you know, is just every artist can kind of go, can I say balls to the wall?
Sure.
Every artist kind of goes balls to the wall on drawing the Hulk. They just trip out on him. And it was cool to see Steve Dillon give his take on it. It is a very different looking Hulk, and I really dug the art on this issue. One of many things. I love a lot of things about this issue.
Yeah, but it's basically Hulk and Punisher teaming up to go after this new villain,
the new villain of the year.
Yeah, Pitbull, who, depending on the story in the in the issue, is either a man who got turned into a dog or a dog who turned into a man, and he rolls with a pack of, like, poodles.
Those are his girls.
His girls, yeah. His poodles, and then a bunch of dudes who act like dogs.
Yeah. They got, like, collars on.
It's incredible. It's really funny. It's really disturbing. It's exactly what you'd expect from a Jason Aaron, Steve Dillon team-up.
There's a new dynamic in this book as far as Banner and Hulk. We thought Banner was dead, killed in the massive explosion in the last issue. There is, without giving it away, it's not all the way over between Hulk and Banner, but Banner now has a certain hold on Hulk, and what Hulk has to do in order to make sure Banner, who's now, you know, it used to be Banner had to keep Hulk in check. Hulk was the quote-unquote bad guy or the destructive force. Now Hulk needs to keep Banner in check, and how he does it is, you're looking at it right now, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, and it's
funny.
It's really funny.
Darkly funny.
Yeah, it's great. You're going to get a whole bunch of different issues in the story with it that take place in different environments throughout the Marvel Universe.
With different guest stars, different artists.
It's a great story. It's a great angle to this whole dynamic. Just the ways that we're going to see the title of the arc play out and Stay Angry. It's going to be a lot of fun. This may be my twim of the week.
Yeah. You know what's cool? I like how, you know, obviously over in Punisher by Greg Rucka, they've reinvented his look a little bit visually. He's got kind of a different kind of symbol, and he's got the beard.
Yeah.
So seeing Steve Dillon, who's drawn the Punisher a million times, draw a different looking Punisher. That was kind of neat, too.
Yeah.
A lot of neat things about this issue.
So good.
New Mutants number 43, the conclusion of the five-part Exiled story, which we have loved so much. First of all, it's by Dan Abnett, Andy Lanning, Kieron Gillen. Carmine D. Giandomenico finishes up, did all five issues of this story. Fantastic job. Andy Troy on colors. The colors have been brilliant. Basically, what happened was, in the previous issue, we finally learned that the Disir, their origin was, they were handmaidens to Bor. One of them got seduced by Sigurd, who was a Asgardian warrior and a bit of a Asgardian playboy. And the only way they can get out of their curse is they either have to kill Sigurd or they marry him. So we have a wedding ceremony in this issue. Bor, the father of Odin, is overseeing it. The Asgardians, aside from Loki and Hela, still don't know who they are. They still have amnesia. The New Mutants are basically observing this wedding ceremony, and Danny Moonstar is not having any of it. As the wedding ceremony goes on, it's both kind of gross, but also, you know, a little humorous that Bor is just, you know, he's this old school Viking god. He's overseeing this ceremony, and it's very, very sexist and very, like, you ladies are swearing to be, like, slaves to this guy, basically. And Danny Moonstar is just, like, boiling and boiling and angry. And Loki's just like, come on, chill out. We've almost got this resolved. Don't do anything stupid. And, of course, Danny Moonstar is like, forget it. So it ends up being a big fight between the New Mutants, Bor. I keep wanting to say Boar's Head Ham. You know, just natural.
Hungry?
Just natural.
It's early.
I am. I had a late breakfast. So... There's
that doesn't make any sense. Keep going. I like it.
The New Mutants need to save the Disir from Bor. Loki needs to outwit Bor to both save his own life, to save the Disir. There's a role for our boy Mephisto, which is fantastic. Because Mephisto, kind of, we've seen Mephisto playing two roles over the last few months. In Journey into Mystery, he's been the scheming Mephisto we all know and love. And, you know, been making deals, been evil as can be. And over New Mutants, he's been trying to romance Magma. So he's been kind of a, you know, softer Mephisto. The two Mephistos basically clash here. And it's like watching a Zach Morris plan from Saved by the Bell go horribly awry, where he's trying to, like, date two girls at the same time.
Always with the Zach Morris.
It's just fantastic. So that's your humor part of this issue. But you got big action. You got some witty stuff. You got a neat little fate for the Disir. A lot of stuff that... all three of these writers have been setting up for the last couple years in their books, get wrapped up, and I just loved this crossover so much. It was a perfect example of how to do just a fun, action-packed, clever crossover with great art, and I would love to see a sequel down the road.
Yeah.
Love to see these creators and these characters hook it up again.
Yeah, you gotta read New Mutants and Journey into Mystery. Mm-hmm. Must reads every month.
Every month.
All right. Wolverine number 307.
Actually, Ultimates is next.
Fine, Ben.
Over in the Ultimate Universe, we've got Ultimate Comics Ultimates number 11, written by Jonathan Hickman and Sam Humphries, with art by Luke Ross, assisted by Butch Geiss and Leonard Kirk, as well as Patrick Zercher. And on colors, we've got Matt Milo, we've got Jesus Ebertov. We've got a whole array of people, because basically, this is, once again, I've talked, I think every time, I'm broken record here, about how the Ultimates is the story of a world. It's a world-building series. It's talking about, this is everything that's going on across the entire Ultimate Universe. In this issue, we look at the various Ultimates who have been scattered to the wind after Reed Richards and his Children of Tomorrow have razed Washington, D.C. to the ground. They have basically said to the new president, who's the former Secretary of Energy, who's so far down the line, you know, he never thought he'd be president, but so many people were killed. The president starts to be like, we can't beat Reed Richards. We're not going to work with the Ultimates or S.H.I.E.L.D., and they start negotiating with Reed Richards. At the same time, Nick Fury's basically gone into hiding. Black Widow, Falcon, and Hawkeye are seeking out some secret weapons that Nick Fury's set up. They end up fighting the rogue forces of S.H.I.E.L.D. You learn about there is a West Coast Ultimates team being planned, which I thought was kind of fun.
That was great.
And then you also have Iron Man and Thor, who are just fantastic. Ultimate Iron Man and Thor just kind of wheeling and dealing. They're like, all right, well, we got... Thor is depowered. Iron Man has a brain tumor again. He's talking to a little kid version of himself he's imagining, off the rails, trying to spin, figure out how they can do all this. This is just the biggest comic. There's so much going on, and the scope is so wide. All the art's great. The colors are awesome. And it's one of my favorites every month. It really is, even though it's part of the larger Ultimate Universe, it feels like this comic has enough content that it could fill, you know, three comics on its own. It really is its own little universe. I love what Hickman and Humphreys are doing. Got to talk to Sam Humphreys a little bit about what's coming up in this book. Excited for that. They're heading into a big story called Divided We Fall. They're going to come into contact with the X-Men. Spider-Man's going to be involved. So great time to be picking up the Ultimates right now.
Yeah. Reading this and listening to you talk about it reminds me of the first two Ultimates runs by Mark Miller and Brian Hitch in the scope of it all, the size of it all, and how awesome it was. I was looking through the first collection of Ultimates this past weekend, and yeah, and that's great. It's really terrific comics.
Yeah.
All right, now my turn now with Wolverine. Okay. Wolverine number 307.
Sorry for going in alphabetical order.
It's quite all right.
That was my bad.
Yeah, it is. Written by Colin Bunn, art by Paul Pelletier, with inks by David Mikus and Cam Smith, colors by Rain Barreto. It's just disgusting. It's just vile.
So gross.
Nasty, nasty comics. It's great. Wolverine has been captured by Dr. Rot, who I watched some Sherlock last night, the show with our friends Benedict Cumberbatch, and the villain in the show, Jim Moriarty, is bananas crazy on the show, like more so than I'd seen him in other incarnations. And it reminds me a lot of Dr. Rot and the way he's portrayed in here, just like super duper crazy, although Dr. Rot is a little bit more gruesome in his bloody grossness. But you get a lot of crazy disgustingness throughout this issue where Dr. Rot is essentially just playing with Wolverine's brain, setting him up for a fall, and leading to big problems in the next issue for some people who are trying to find and or help Wolverine.
Yeah.
So, gross.
Very gross.
Good Wolverine comics, but nasty as all get out.
Speaking of Wolverine comics, first of our two Avengers vs. X-Men tie-ins this week, Wolverine the X-Men number 11. This takes place in between the current issues of Avengers versus X-Men. It actually takes place right before, basically between pages of issue number 4. Wolverine has hooked up with Hope Summers. He is taking her to the moon, where she wants to go, to meet up with the Phoenix. So you get to follow kind of Wolverine's headset. And, you know, I've been praising the tie-in issues for Avengers versus X-Men. They're really good in expanding the little bits that we see in AVX. So, you know, in AVX, we see a couple panels of Wolverine and Hope headed to the moon. In this, we get a whole, basically half of an issue of what's Wolverine thinking as this is going on? What does he think about the fact that he's bringing someone else to the Phoenix? What does he think about the fact that he might have to kill a kid, which is a very heavy issue he has to deal with here? Along the way, they run into the Shi'ar Death Commandos, who are the people who wiped out all of Rachel Gray's family. There's some nasty customers. There's a pretty brutal fight between Wolverine, Hope, and the Shi'ar Death Commandos, where you really get to see what Hope can do. And then the other side of this issue is just tracking and expanding some of the various battles that are going on throughout AVX. So it's kind of almost like a mini versus. Some of the fights you can see is Iceman versus Red Hulk, which on paper just sounds like, what, how's that? It's Red Hulk. He's going to smash everything. Iceman, inventive, uses his powers in cool ways. It's actually quite a battle. It's really cool. And as one of the kids said in this show, like, wow, I didn't know Iceman was so cool. And you really get to see why Iceman's one of the badass X-Men.
Does Iceman ever use the phrase chill out?
In video games, probably.
Okay.
Maybe on the animated series in the 90s.
And fine.
In my dreams.
Yeah.
But you also get to see other little battles. You get to see Angel against Hawkeye. You get to see a cool one with Rachel Gray taking on Iron Fist. I like that we're not just going for the obvious stuff here. It's not just, all right, cool, it's Hulk versus Colossus. Which is great. I love seeing it, but you also get to see something like Rachel Gray versus Iron Fist, or even Iceman versus Red Hulk. Who would have thought of that? So you get to see those play out. It's written by Jason Aaron. It's drawn by Nick Bradshaw, who is just a delight. Nick Bradshaw, Norman Lee, and Walden Wong ink it. Justin Ponser colors it. It's a beautiful-looking book. I didn't talk a lot about that, but they do a great job of portraying just the fun fight and also pretty deep stuff with Wolverine and Hope.
Yep. All right, X-Men number 29 is the final issue in Victor Gishler's nearly three-year-long run on this book. Kudos to Vic. Art by Will Conrad with colors by Guru FX on this issue. Wraps up a bunch of things he was doing. Big Skrull storyline. You've got some Rogue Skrulls. Basically just trying to get out. One of them is super-duper jerky. And Pixie, of all people, has to...
Of all people,
has to take charge and help take him down. It was cool. She takes a leadership role in this book. I thought it was a lot of fun. You get a cool cameo by Spider-Man, and you've got the Future Foundation involved. You've got Skrull action. You've got some cool stuff in and around New York City. It's a fun Marvel Universe book. Victor will be missed, but next issue we're going to get Brian Wood and David Lopez, so the book will be in good hands going forward.
Finally, X-Men Legacy number 267, written by Christos Gage, drawn by Rafa Sandoval. Another Avengers vs. X-Men tie-in. A group of Avengers has come to the Jean Grey School, ostensibly to monitor the X-Men and their students to make sure they don't get involved in the war, but the X-Men who are teaching at the school did not take kindly to this, so a battle has broken out. We've got, on one side of the X-Men, we've got Rogue, we've got Mimic, we've got Frenzy, Cannonball, Shadowcat pitching in. And then on the Avengers side, we've got Iron Man, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, and Falcon. So again, interesting combatants, interesting combinations. The through line of the story is basically how Rogue remembers back in the day she took out the Avengers all by herself, but that happened to be when she was a villain. She didn't really have any scruples. She was willing to do whatever it takes. So her battle this issue is, all right, I can beat these guys, but do I want to go to that place where I have to go in order to beat these guys? She does do some things that are pretty questionable. Rogue, once again, shows why she is very, very formidable. And I like the Avengers counter, which involves Moon Knight, of all people.
Yeah, it was good.
Moon Knight, of all people, finds a way to slow Rogue down. So some fun stuff in X-Men Legacy number 267. And by the end of the issue, there is another new wrinkle to the AVX conflict, as more X-Men now have motivation to get involved in the main war. And that was our comics for this week.
All right. What's your tome of the week, Benjamin?
Well, I'll tell you, I really liked Ultimates. It was a really solid issue, and I'm really just digging that. But I do think Incredible Hulk stood out kind of head and shoulders. That was just a fantastic issue and really, really won me over. And your description of it was very effective as well.
I mirror your thoughts.
Mm.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Blake?
Blake Garris.
I'm going with Amazing Spider-Man.
Annual.
Every Spider-Man thing that's out right now is amazing.
Yeah?
I didn't mean...
Not everything, because some of them are Ultimate Spider-Man or...
Well,
Marvel Universe, Ultimate.
That was a bad word, but awesome.
Yeah. So you're going with Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 39, solely on the strength of the Spider-Man brand right now. All right. Rachel Pittman, what comic most excited you or that you have already read?
I'm kind of going to go with Blake. I think Amazing Spider-Man Annual sounds really good.
Famous last words. I'm going to go with Blake.
Yeah.
Chris Maldonado making your This Week in Marvel debut.
Well, I think your descriptions of the Hulk one sounded really good. And ever since the Avengers movie came out, I've just been like on a Hulk, like, I don't even know. Like
Hulk binge?
A Hulk binge.
Yeah.
I just really like where Hulk is going
and
everything he's doing.
Cool. Strong opinions. We've got 3 votes for good, 2 votes for Blake.
Yeah. So we win again.
Yeah.
Take that back to your Swamp Queen.
Yeah. In addition to the print comics on sale this week, we also have, courtesy of our friend Max Beckman, collections on sale this week out in print on May 30th, today, yesterday, when this goes up. We have got Captain America and Bucky, Old Wounds, out in hardcover. Daredevil by Ed Brubaker and Michael Lark, Ultimate Collection, Book 2 in trade. Kick-Ass 2 in hardcover. Marvel First, the 1970s, Volume 3 in trade. Official Handbook of the Marvel Universe, A to Z, Volume 5, trade. The Stand, Volume 3, Soul Survivors, trade. Villains for Hire, Night Takes King, also in trade. X-23, Volume 3, Don't Look Back, in hardcover. X-Factor, They Keep Killing Madrox, hardcover. And X-Men, Phoenix, End Song, War Song, Ultimate Collection, in trade.
It's tough. The Daredevil by Brubaker and Lark was really good.
That was good stuff. The Stand was very good.
Stand was great.
I think for this week, I'm going to go with the final volume of X-23, because I think that series finished.
Oh, is that the final volume?
Yes.
I'm going with you on that one.
So X-23, Volume 3, hardcover. Blake Garris?
Can I have 4?
That's half the books. Yeah, go for it.
X-Factor, X-23, Daredevil, Cap and Bucky.
That's 5.
No, that's...
I know, I was just tricking you. You said Cap and Bucky. I was trying to see if I could pull one over on you.
All 4 of those.
Yeah. All right, those are 4 good ones. Rachel Pittman, have you read any of these trades?
Sort of. I've been reading through X-23, so seeing that there's a whole bounded volume seems really fun.
Welcome to the good side.
Oh, yeah.
We missed you.
Yeah.
Kristen?
I actually have not read any of these yet.
Okay.
But what do you want to read? I'm interested in checking out probably Captain America and Kick-Ass 2.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Captain America and Bucky. When you said Captain America and Kick-Ass 2, I'm now picturing a book starring Captain America and Kick-Ass 2.
I could see that.
That could work.
All right.
That could work. Let's go over to the digital side of things, Ryan.
Yep, we're going to start with digital collections. Let's see, out this week we have Ghost Rider, Volume 3, Apocalypse Soon, Punisher, Frankencastle, Secret Warriors, Volume 1, Nick Fury, Agent of Nothing, Ultimates 3, Who Killed the Scarlet Witch, X-Force, Sex and Violence, and X-Men, Supernovas.
A lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Frankencastle is a lot of fun. A
lot of fun. Don't be hating.
Yeah. Don't be hating. Secret Warriors was an awesome book, and it started out really strong. So
it was strong all around.
Yeah, so, no, I'm just saying, from the beginning, it's good, so pick it up right from the beginning. X-Force, Sex and Violence is just crazy.
Yeah, in that book, there's a lot of sex and violence.
Yes.
It's crazy.
You know, it's actually kind of a misprint here, because it says X-Force, Sex and Violence, but I believe the official title was X-Force, Sex Plus Violence. That was in the indicia.
Yeah.
So... you know what you're getting with that one.
Yes.
And X-Men Supernovas, that was the start of Mike Carey's X-Men run.
Of Chris Bichalo art?
Yep.
Bichalo
art all over the place.
Good stuff.
Blake?
I'm going to take two.
Two.
X-Force and Punisher.
X-Force and Punisher. You're not a picky man. Just take it all. Ladies, Rachel?
Ultimates 3, Who Killed the Scarlet Witch? Sounds interesting.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. That was by Jeff Loeb and Joe Mann.
Joe Mann.
That's a lot of fun. And finally, Kristen Maldonado rounding it out.
I'm going to go with Punisher. I think it looks interesting.
Yeah, Frankencastle is rad.
Yeah. Some really cool art on that, too.
Yeah, Rick Remender is succeeding in spite of himself.
Yes.
As always.
All right, what else we got?
We've also got digital comics single issues released on the app. We've got Deadpool Team-Up issues number... well, this goes in reverse order, so issues number 899 through 894.
Yeah, it's counting down, guys.
Yeah, I think that's a Chubanza error.
Probably.
I'm going to assume.
That's why he won't be on the podcast
again.
That's why
he's banned from the podcast. Ghost Rider Annual number 1 from 2007. Incredible Hulks issues number 612 through 617. Nova 2007 series issues number 23 through 28. Love it. Love all of it. All four issues of Ultimate Comics Doom. Wolverine, the 2003 series, issues number 12 through 19. Extreme X-Men, from back in 2001. I remember buying this in college. Issues 19 through 23, and the two-issue Extreme X-Men Exposé. That is indeed spelled X-pose.
What was the storyline in Exposé?
It is a story where a couple of documentary filmmakers are doing a story on the X-Men, and they cover the exploits of the Extreme X-Men. It kind of catches you up on the series to date, because I think it was around issue number 23. They took a break, did this, and then went in kind of a new direction.
Interesting.
So it's interesting stuff. And then all the books we talked about earlier are all available on the Marvel Comics app, as well as June Marvel Previews is also out there. So pick that up.
Rock and roll. Is that all our digitals?
Well, in addition to the Marvel Comics app, we of course also have Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited, and I believe we have some new freshly digitized comics.
Yep, this week, if you're a subscriber to Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited, you will be able to read Mystery Men, number 5, issues 8 through 13 of Generation Hope, issues 8 through 10 of Herc, issues 17 and 18 of the current New Avengers series, issues 13 through 19 of Secret Avengers, that's great.
That's both the Fear Itself arc and the first three issues of Warren Ellis' run.
Ooh.
Really good stuff.
So good, you guys. Issues 7 and 8 of Ozma of Oz, and issues 129 through 135 of the original Fantastic Four series.
Classic stuff.
Yeah.
Old school.
Cool. Little bit. All right, so we're going to kick it over to Mark Strom on the West Coast, who's going to deliver us some more information.
Yes.
Mark? Go.
Hello there, This Week in Marvel listeners. This is Marvel.com assistant editor Mark Strom here to chat with you a little bit about This Week in Marvel TV. We are still in a brief hiatus for the Ultimate Spider-Man and Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. I promise you new episodes will be coming soon. But in the meantime, if you catch Marvel Universe Inside Disney XD this Sunday, beginning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 Central, you can catch an encore presentation of the Ultimate Spider-Man episode Venom, which of course introduces, well, Venom into the Ultimate Spider-Man universe. And After that, you can catch an encore of Alone Against AIM, which is the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes episode that series story editor Chris Yost described as Die Hard starring Tony Stark, which, you know, is more or less accurate. It's Tony Stark, James Rhodes, Captain America, and Black Panther trapped in Stark Tower, which is under attack from AIM, and they essentially have to, you know, fight their way out. He also has War Machine in it. Rhodey gets into the War Machine armor for the first time in the series. It's very cool. And not this week per se, but since these podcasts happens on Thursday, I won't have a chance to tell you about next week. We have a new episode of Iron Man Armored Adventures. The series returns with new episodes starting this upcoming Wednesday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. And this episode features Iron Man 2099, which fans of the 90s will appreciate. Of course, the 2099 series of books were reimaginings of, you know, the different heroes in the future. I don't believe we ever saw an Iron Man 2099, though, in that line. So this will really be a fresh take on the character, but still with a few nods towards the 2099 alternate future. That pretty much covers everything this week in Marvel on Marvel TV. So I'll throw you back to Ben and Ryan, and I will be back with you momentarily.
Thank you, Strami. Feel better?
Feel better, man. We hope you're doing better.
Yeah.
We're the only ones thinking about you.
Yeah, Blake said some mean things, so
yeah,
we'll leave that at that. All right. Ben, why don't you start us off with the news?
Absolutely. We got some big news on the comics side of Marvel.com this week. We just had an interview with the awesome Kelly Sue DeConnick discussing the new Captain Marvel series starring Carol Danvers, as well as the Avenging Spider-Man issue she'll be writing, where Carol is going to be guest starring. We also spoke with Sam Humphries last week about what's coming up, as discussed earlier, in the Ultimate Comics crossover Divided We Fall. He had some really interesting stuff to say, and we showed some preview art from Ultimates. More Astonishing X-Men news. We showed the Marko Djurjevic variant cover to issue number 51, and in case you're not familiar with North Star, who of course is front and center of the big wedding coming up in Astonishing X-Men number 51, did an unlimited highlights with digital comics starring North Star, so you can get to know him a little better. We had the legendary Roger Stern as part of our five favorite Avengers column last week, so he named his five favorite Avengers. It was interesting.
Who are they?
It was, if I can remember from memory, which is the way you remember, in no particular order, Captain America, Wasp, Iron Man, Hawkeye, and, of course, Monica Rambeau.
Okay. So it was a couple of safe bets.
It was his Avengers. Yeah, it was the Avengers he wrote. But you got to read that to see what he had to say about it. His reasons why were pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then finally, in Psych Ward, we did something a little different this week. We had the Legacy of Scourge. So it was the whole history of the Scourge identity, everyone who has donned it, and a psychological evaluation. He hates when we call him a psychiatrist. A psychological evaluation of each person to be called Scourge.
And again, Psych Ward is written by our frequent commenter, Ungaji.
Who I'm sure we'll hear from
Once we get into comments, I'm sure he'll have plenty to say. All right. We also had this week the second poll for Diamond Select Toys Minimates fan voting. You guys get to pick a future wave of Minimates, and we're doing them over four different polls. You get to pick two through most of the polls. This week, who's on the poll?
Blake had some pretty strong opinions on this week's poll.
This week, Commander Steve Rogers, Winter Soldier, Modern Falcon, Gladiator. Say that word.
That's Luke Cage.
No, that.
Luke Cage, Blake.
Never mind.
Shi'ar.
All right, Modern Luke Cage, Black Knight 2, Banshee, and Songbird. And we're fighting each other over email about who's going to win this.
I am pulling for Winter Soldier and Songbird, even though I initially supported Steve Rogers getting a two-pack there, but I'd like to see Songbird for Strami, who's sick and loves Strongbird.
I voted for Luke Cage and Gladiator.
Right. Those are good picks.
Yeah.
Blake?
Banshee and who else? Falcon.
So committed to your picks that you couldn't remember for a solid 5 seconds. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Any of them would be good choices.
But while this episode of the podcast will go up before some information releases about the Avengers, Marvel's The Avengers, coming to DVD, Blu-ray, et cetera, et cetera. I will say that there are some very cool plans, and we will be talking about that stuff really soon. So stay tuned to all our Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and all the places that you get your Marvel news, because we will be the ones to deliver it about Marvel's The Avengers.
Did we talk about Tumblr last week?
Well, that's on my... See, I wrote that in.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yes.
There you go.
We launched the Marvel Tumblr officially, finally got clearance through all the legalities and everything. Mm-hmm. It's at marvelentertainment.tumblr.com. We're trying to keep it a little bit different, a little bit more fun and separate from our other networks. We're doing a Marvel panel of the day, which we're all contributing to, except for Blake, who hasn't contributed to it yet.
I didn't know that. I thought Blake had contributed.
I'll get there.
I really liked mine from yesterday.
Yeah, yours from yesterday was very fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, I just told everyone, you know, pick something crazy, whatever you want. It can be from any book, and as long as it doesn't have anything derogatory. Not that it would, because we're Marvel, and we wouldn't have anything like that, but there's some weird stuff in the annals and the...
Yeah. The back catalog. Send us your favorite panels. We can find them online.
Yeah. So we're gonna expand and do more and more as we go along, but we're having fun with it.
Yeah.
It's
well, most cool. Of us.
Yeah. Well, Blake hasn't contributed.
Right. It'll be fun, man. Promise.
Yeah. It's spinning in my head.
As I explained last week, you know how most people have like the hamster or the gerbil running around in their head?
I guess.
The wheel to generate mind power?
Yeah.
I think Blake has the bears in the jug band. Just playing the jugs.
Is that a thing? Bears yep. In a jug band?
You've been on Splash Mountain.
They have ties, though. So
yeah, no, they're very classy. Bears. They're sophisticated bears, but that's how Blake's mind is powered. So it doesn't work at the same
speed.
Country Bear Jamboree.
All right, that's two separate things, Benjamin.
Oh, they're on Splash Mountain.
That's two separate things.
There
no,
are bears
no,
on Splash Mountain.
No, I will throw you out of this room.
Go on Splash Mountain.
They are two separate entities.
They might be, but there's definitely a bear jug band on Splash Mountain.
There's. Breathe.
Take him to Anthony. You guys go.
What? You do not know what you're talking about when it comes to Walt Disney World attraction.
Share your wisdom.
The Country Bear Jamboree
yes.
is its own wonderful animatronic
right.
show.
Correct.
All those entities live solely in there. The
yeah.
creatures and the entities
in Splash
within
Mountain.
Splash Mountain are mostly from Song of the South.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And from a weird
but,
part.
But there is a bear jug band. On Splash Mountain. I'm pretty sure.
There is one bear
yeah.
who may be playing,
I think
a,
he's playing
jug.
A jug.
Is he wearing clothes?
Yeah.
This is important to Blake for some reason.
Yeah, you've got Br'er Rabbit, though. You've got all that stuff.
Yep.
So.
Okay, thank you for the lesson.
Song of the South. Whatever it is, it's completely separate.
Country Bear Jamboree is its own thing.
Yeah, this was definitely a divergent tangent for
yeah,
this
podcast.
Yeah, no,
but
podcast.
It's good for people to know. It's important information.
I suppose so. All right. Back to other stuff. Yesterday I posted photos from New York Yankees second baseman Robinson Cano's visit to Marvel headquarters. We will have the podcast that we recorded with him next week. Right, Blake?
It's done.
Done.
Yep.
Ready to go.
Yep.
He could put it up today.
If I wanted to.
That would be a nightmare, though.
Do you want to?
You can't. Ryan won't let me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's ready.
All right.
Good. Excellent. Tell us a little bit about the podcast we posted yesterday.
Ryan and I talked to Joe Maddalena. He works at Profiles in History Auctions, and he specializes in like old movie memorabilia, and he has a TV show on Sci-Fi called Hollywood Treasure, and it's awesome. And we talked to him about his auction for a Captain America movie and an Iron Man movie. Iron Man 2, right? One of the Iron Man movies. And he is a big comic book fan, too.
So, loves the X-Men.
Yeah.
A really nice guy. It was a lot of fun talking to him.
Yeah.
We're going to have another AVX podcast soon.
We will have an AVX podcast next week. In addition to Robinson Cano on Tuesday, we should have AVX on Wednesday.
Yeah. Lots of podcasts.
You can start sending your questions to hashtag ThisWeekInMarvelAVX, all one word, and we'll get those over to Niccolo and Tom Brevoort. We'll be recording Friday, so get in ASAP.
Very good. All right, now kick it back over to Strami for some news from the West Coast.
Welcome back, This Week in Marvel listeners. It's been a relatively light week for Marvel movies and TV news, but that does not mean we don't have things going on. It's just sort of that slightly quieter period as we're coming out of Marvel's The Avengers and starting to gear up for Iron Man 3, which of course comes out next year, May 3rd, 2013. And yes, my head is already firmly in Iron Man 3 space, even though it's, well, oh, a little less than a year out at this point. But yes, we are still already planning for that. So, in the meantime, we do have some cool stuff. We debuted a bunch of new screenshots and character renders from Marvel Heroes, which is, of course, our MMO that will be coming out in the future. It's looking awesome. I actually got a chance to see a little bit of it a few weeks back. It looks incredible. We revealed that some of the playable characters in the game will include, or some more rather, will include Emma Frost, Ms. Marvel, Colossus, Black Widow. Spider-Man will have an alternate costume featuring his Future Foundation suit. Hulk will have an alternate costume featuring his Planet Hulk gear, the armor that he wore in the arena on Sakaar. And we also revealed that Hawkeye will be a playable character. So really, by this point, I think we've revealed that most, if not all, of the Avengers that were featured in the movie will be in the game, which is very exciting. You can sort of assemble with your own team. And moving over into the world of television, we announced that the Blade and Wolverine anime series will be coming out on July 31st of this year, so just about 2 months away. Each set will contain the full 12-episode series. These, of course, are the series that ran on G4. Well, Blade ran earlier this year. Wolverine ran on G4 last year during the late summer, early fall, I believe. But you can now bring them home into very nice DVD packages. And speaking of television, we also now have the first two season 2 episodes of The Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes available for free streaming on both Marvel.com and MarvelKids.com. So if you happen to miss those, or if you just want to go back and watch them again, they are now there. You can go right ahead. And with that, I think I've pretty much covered everything. We will have hopefully some exciting stuff for you next week as well. Nothing I can talk about yet, but it'll be cool. And with that, I bid you adieu. Have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful weekend. And back to Ryan and Ben.
Thank you, Strami. Oh, man. Feel better, man, buddy. Feel better.
You're such a trooper.
Yeah.
Sorry for all those things Blake emailed to you.
Stay sick, Strami.
What?
He said stay sick.
You're a nightmare.
It's going the other direction.
All right. So now it's time for This Week in Marvel questions
and comments.
And that
was the perfect lead-in, because there's going to be a lot of Blake controversy in these comments.
Blake-traversy?
Yeah. Blake-traversy, if you will.
Yes.
He may have made some Miss Blake's over the course of the last week.
Again, if you want to send in your questions and comments for us to use in a future episode, tweet them to us using the hashtag ThisWeekInMarvel. You can also tweet to me at @agent_M, at @BenJMorse, at @BlakeGarris, and at @Strami.
Interns, do you guys have Twitter accounts you'd like to have the fans reach out to you at?
Sure thing.
Comics. You don't have to. This is not a requirement. Go ahead.
I'll go for it. Comic Scribbler. At twitter.com.
Cool.
Mine's Kaymaldo, Kaymaldo.
Okay.
There you go.
What do you guys tweet about normally?
Pretty much anything going on in, like, entertainment, I feel like. Yeah. You know, movies, comic books, TV shows.
Mine has been pretty dead for a while, but I'm planning on going back to that.
Good, okay. Good.
You guys have gotten the social media talk from your respective supervisors?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Blake looks a little...
Rachel did. Kristen clearly
very
did not.
Soon.
Yeah, very soon as in right after this, please. All right. Very good. All right, so we're going to jump right into the questions now. The first one is from @Cassius335,
mm-hmm.
who tweets, since you guys made me look it up,
And there's a link here, but I clicked this earlier. Yeah. Basically, you know, we're always talking about, what anniversary is this? Because we knew our 25th podcast was our silver anniversary, but we didn't know all the wedding anniversaries. So he sent us a list of all the wedding anniversaries, like what gift you get people on weddings. So like I said, like paper is the first one. I think wood was the second. Leather is the third. Remember that, because we're both hitting our third this year. So
yeah,
look forward to leather gifts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the gip is, once you hit 30, which we just hit on the podcast, it starts skipping only 5 years.
What?
So like 31 is nothing. You don't get anything.
Unacceptable.
Also, I mentioned to Cassius 335 that the big problem is it only goes up to 80. Because I guess, you know, people are usually married 80 years and then stuff.
They die.
Yes.
Then people die.
I'm fine. Let's be real.
That's what happens.
But I said, we're going to obviously make it past 80 episodes this week of Marvel. So what do we do then? He recommended we reboot and start with volume 2 at episode 81 because we are so bound by this wedding theme that we've gone with.
Aren't we?
I think the next one we have coming up at 35 is Coral. So our Coral anniversary at 35. That's not quite as exciting as silver.
Yeah.
We got to make it to 50 to get to gold.
Yes. All right. Now we're going to a bunch from at Alex Gimmel, who tweets, so I am now a member of the Blake Bitgade.
Yes, he spelled Blake Brigade wrong, a true mark of a member of the Blake Brigade.
No, no. No.
He did.
I know
it's
he
right
did.
There.
He's not part of the brigade.
So you kicked him out for misspelling?
Yes. That's misspelling the name of the group.
All right. Well, hope you enjoyed your time in the Blake Brigade, Alex Gimmel.
Alex Gimmel then tweets, if he's a part of the Blake Brigade, then damn you, Benjay Morse, it wasn't Blake's fault. I'm sure Blake's fault.
It's going to be Blake's fault.
Yeah.
After he once again turned against his fans.
Yeah. Another one from Alex Gimmel. Any idea if there will be a one-shot on the Avengers Blu-ray? Well, Alex Gimmel, stay tuned. Mm-hmm. News coming. Plenty of news. Whether or not there is or isn't, I'm not going to say yet because we haven't given an official stance. But soon you will find out about what's on the Blu-ray, at least a little bit. Another one from Alex Gimmel. Would like to get more Alpha Flight. Any suggestions?
Well, there's two ways to take this question. Is he talking about he wants more Alpha Flight in the future? In which case, I would recommend buying the Alpha Flight collection that just came out, I think, and reading it on digital comics to show your support for Alpha Flight. Also pick up all the Astonishing X-Men stuff coming up with North Star. And let people know on Twitter and everywhere that you want an Alpha Flight series. If you're looking for old stuff, classic stuff, we released the first Alpha Flight classic volume a little while back. I think there's a second volume on the way, so you can definitely check that out. I know we have a lot of it on Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited. I'm sure at the Marvel Digital Comics shop and on the Marvel Comics app, we have a lot of old Alpha Flight available. The stuff from the 80s, the John Byrne stuff is, you know, seminal, really classic. Some of their old appearances in X-Men are great, and I really liked the X-Men Alpha Flight miniseries where they had the Asgardian Wars. So if you can track that down, that's a good read.
Awesome. Last one from Alex Gimmel says, why does Agent M hate Gambit?
I'm just going to kick back and enjoy this one.
Yep.
Just sit back and listen.
Because he's a jerk. He's awful. I don't like him. He's annoying. I've never been a fan. I never really liked his costume. Why did he have the thing around his face? Weird body armor. The trench coat was annoying. I'm not a fan. I just don't cotton to Gambit.
You like Gambit, right, Blake?
I have a Gambit action figure at home I will never bring to work. I'm afraid Ryan will throw it across.
That's a good move.
I will pull off its head and replace it with like a gummy bear or something. Yeah. Anyway, all right. At Jedi Musketeer.
Get back on track. Focus.
Yeah. At Jedi Musketeer tweets, for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party at Walt Disney World, Ajon and Cooking with Mickey will be Marvel's The Avengers, Iron Man, and Black Widow.
Cool. Very cool.
Nice.
Send us pics.
Yep. Always want to see some photos.
Is he talking about Halloween in October, or is
there a
sooner event?
So that's for...
I think I'm going to be at Disney around Halloween.
Will you?
I would like to see that.
Nice.
Yeah.
At Ballas81 tweets, just read the article on Marvel Heroes MMO. Can't wait for this game. It sounds awesome, just like everything from Marvel. Well, Billy, I would agree. If you guys missed it last week, we showed the first trailer for Marvel Heroes, our upcoming MMO. It's Diablo-esque in a lot of the presentation and some of the gameplay and stuff, and you'll get lots more info soon. Tons of characters, tons of cool stuff coming. I'm very excited about this. It should be a whole lot of fun. Another one from Ballas81 tweets, we'll be playing as Deadpool and Cable all the time. Smart. Love to see Rocket Raccoon and Squirrel Girl, the greatest team up. Yeah, you guys will be very happy with all the character choices. And, you know, I'm sure as we go along, as the game is more successful, we'll get more characters and more fun stuff added to the game. At BradTheYM tweets, listen to This Week in Marvel episode 30. He would recommend the Deadpool Venom What If comic for the listener missing the books.
It's true. It's a good suggestion. We just put that out last year, I think, by Rick Remender. Deadpool Venom What If. We collected it. So if you're missing out on What If comics, that's a pretty recent one you can check out.
Yep. At BradTheYM also tweets, thank you to us for delivering him Twin Points. It was the best birthday gift he got, second best, actually, to a new car.
So is it the best or is it the second best?
Yeah, I mean, we can giveth and we can taketh away.
It's kind of a gray area there.
Yeah.
I think we need clarification next week.
Give us the car and we'll give you some more points.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yep, all right. At BradTheYM also tweets, I saw the new armor featured in Invincible Iron Man number 517. It looks amazing. What do we think?
I love it. I like that it's a different color. It's black and kind of neon blue. I've always been a fan of when, I mean, you know, the red and gold is classic, but I like when Iron Man switches up his colored scheme. I like the silver Centurion armor. So I think it's cool. I think it's a neat take by Salvador LaRocca on classic Iron Man, but, you know, really pushing it into the next little phase, which is what Iron Man should be all about. Should always be changing his look, always be modifying.
Yes. All right, couple from at the Brad Pinder. First one is, how come nobody wears trunks anymore?
That's never really been a Marvel thing. We don't have a lot of characters with, like, short trunks on like the Speedos? Outside of their tights. Yeah, well, I think he's talking about, you know, how some superheroes wear, it looks like they're wearing their underwear on the outside. I'm describing this with my hands. It looks awesome. They wear, like, their underwear on the outside of their tights. That's more other companies. We don't traditionally have a lot of that. I mean, like, the original X-Men costumes.
Yeah. Namor sometimes just goes around in a Speedo. And
see, Namor, he's not wearing it over anything, though. Namor just goes. Namor's just all trunks, you know? So it's not really a trend away from that. We've never really been there.
Yeah.
But maybe
I'm sure you can find other comics with people wearing their underwear on the outside, if you so choose.
Less now than ever, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
It's a dying art.
Ah, well. All right, another one from at the Brad Pinder. Are there any plans to have any live-action TV shows based on Marvel characters? He says Heroes for Hire on TV would be awesome. Well, Brad, if you've missed the news from last two Comic-Cons or the last Comic-Con...
It's been floating in.
So. Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it in development, which doesn't mean anything, really. It means that these shows are being developed and may or may not actually make it to television. We've been talking about AKA Jessica Jones, which is sort of the alias-based TV show. We've been talking about...
Hulk,
possibly. We've been talking about a
Mockingbird
and Cloak and Dagger.
Yep,
those all are in all development kind of,
at they're going around
various stages, which could mean nothing. They may or may not make it to television. It's too early to say, but those are things that we have been kicking around.
If you want to see Heroes for Hire on TV, though, you should check out the recent Avengers vs. Mightiest Heroes episode. I forget the name, but it was the one where Hank Pym was the spotlight character and Luke Cage and Iron Fist showed up. And, of course, Power Man and Iron Fist are in every episode just about of Ultimate Spider-Man.
They're great.
You can see them in cartoon form.
Yep. Another one from at the Brad Pinder. Just saw Avengers with my family. Both wife and son are asking, when are we going to see it again? Had to say thanks to Marvel. You're very welcome, Brad. We're very glad you enjoyed it.
Blake, you want to say thank you? Or you're welcome, or any of that stuff.
You're welcome, Brad. Yeah, being nice. I hate it.
He's burning up inside, folks. All right, last one from at the Brad Pinder. With the success of the Scarlet Spider, is there another character you would clone to have their own series? Who and why? Mm. I don't think we would clone anyone to have their own series. I guess, maybe?
The X-23. It's a clone of Wolverine.
Yeah,
so a gender-swapped younger clone of Wolverine.
She's totally a hipster there. She did it before Scarlet Spider.
Yeah. Scarlet Spider was a clone first. She had her own series first.
Yeah.
Let's be fair.
Sure.
Yeah. I think most characters, I think they're good with their series. You know, you need a compelling reason to have a different kind. The reason Scarlet Spider works so well is he's not Peter Parker. He's a Spider-Man if he'd gone down a different path. So you've got to find a really compelling reason to create a different version of an existing character.
There you go. At Kate_Rowe tweeted asking, is there any chance if a Peter David X-Factor omnibus would be released soon?
I would love to see that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Be so cool. I think we've almost got all of Peter David's X-Factor run in Visionaries, so we'll probably finish that up first. But, you know, after that, who knows? If you request it, it could happen.
It could happen. No news. Cheap Graphic Novels tweeted, and that is...
That's Max Beckman.
Max Beckman tweeted saying that his Twim of the Week was X-Factor, yep. The most underrated Marvel book, so it's a nice little connection to that last...
Synergy.
...comment.
Not really.
At Immortal Thor 99 tweets, so if AIM made small creatures from Adam Warlock's genetic material, would they be hemorrhoids?
Ah, we got a comedian.
Hello!
Ah, we got a comedian here. Mr. Funny Guy.
Woo! That's like a little sound effect.
A little trombone.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's got to do the sound effects because we're waiting weeks for those.
Yep. Another one from at Immortal Thor 99. Any future Marvel Knights original animated movies coming? No news right now. That could always change, you never know, but I got nothing for you. At Sensei Korikun tweets, Mjolnir or Mjolnir, please clarify by the Eye of Odin. So that's discussing how to pronounce Mjolnir.
Yeah, I always thought it was Mjolnir, so the second one.
Yeah.
I've never heard Mjolnir.
Me neither.
Not even in the movie when...
Meow meow?
When Darcy's mispronouncing
it. Meow meow. No, it's Mjolnir. So how do you pronounce it, Blake?
Mjolnir.
Y'all.
So it's more like a mule.
Yeah.
Mjolnir. Okay. Another one from at Sensei Korikun.
Blake actually has a mule back home named Mjolnir.
Aw.
It's my wife and I.
Yeah, the Swamp Queen's taking care of it right now. She's tending to Mjolnir.
Bunch more from at Sensei Korikun. First one. Anybody else missing the 80s exclamations? Boche moi. It's by the White Wolf.
It's Boisemoy.
Boisemoy.
He spelled it wrong, but I know what he's going for.
Boisemoy.
It's Colossus used to always yell, Boisemoy!
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
You're Russian?
Oh, yeah. Took lots of Russian
classes. By the White Wolf, I long for it.
I don't know who said by the White Wolf. I remember it. He's not lying.
I think these all were very Chris Claremont-isms to, you know, put
trademark
in the dialogue.
Chris Claremont.
So, at Sensei Korikun also tweets, I need Logan to start a book with his I'm the best there is at what I do.
You probably won't have to wait long.
Yeah, he says it.
He does it a lot.
A lot, because he's pretty good at what he does. Another one from at Sensei Korikun. I picture your interns in New Mutants, in parentheses, Bob McLeod costumes.
That's an idea.
So those are the
black,
yellow,
and
black jumpsuits?
Original ones, yeah.
How do you guys feel about that?
That's what we're wearing right now.
Ah. Very good, very good. At Sensei Korikun also tweets, have his very special set of skills not been expounded upon for the new gen?
He's got to be replying to someone because I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Try referring to something we said last week. You got to give us full context when you tweet because we don't...
We look at these week to week.
We didn't just listen to the podcast from last week.
Yeah. Another one from that Sensei Korikun. X-Men at the State Fair of Texas was my first Butch Geiss.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Was that the one?
That's one of those one shots.
But is that the one?
No, it's not the one.
Okay.
It's not the one.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Coming soon.
Yes. At Sensei Korikun finally also tweets, what was the first comic that
you
married? Mine was Fall of the Mutants.
I don't recall.
I'm married to my wife.
Yeah.
Not a comic book, unless she is a comic book, and then everything is thrown out the window.
I feel like Blake should answer this question.
Yeah.
No comic book can tie Blake Garris down. I think it's a Man Thing comic.
Wonderful as ever, Blake. Thank you.
Eloquent.
All right. Now we're going to go to DJ Bolchiccio.
I feel like we've got a lot of new people this
week. Yeah, it's great.
It's cool.
Dan tweets, finished Ecstatic's Omnibus. Will they join Cyclops' side? Dupe at the school, thinking about Acts of Vengeance. Wait.
These are two separate thoughts.
There's a couple thoughts here.
Yeah.
He says, will they join Cyclops' side?
Because Dupe is at Wolverine's school.
Right.
Well, most of the Ecstatics are dead. So.
Yeah.
They won't be joining anybody's side.
Yeah.
Dupe. In fact, they're all dead, right? Except for Dupe.
Except for Dupe. I believe so.
Yeah. That was kind of the gist of Ecstatic's.
It's an awesome book if you've never
Great
read
book.
It. And also, Dan tweets, thinking about the Acts of Vengeance Omnibus. Thoughts?
Check it out, man.
Totally.
Classic
One of my
story.
Favorite Magneto stories is an Acts of Vengeance story. It's a Captain America issue where the whole premise of Acts of Vengeance was the villains get together as they do and said, let's swap heroes and we'll totally mess them up.
Yep.
So, you know.
And someone thought it might be a good idea to put Holocaust survivor Magneto and noted Nazi the Red Skull in a room together. And this comic's about what happens when you do that.
It's a delight. Love it. As you know, I dislike Nazis quite a bit.
Yeah,
so.
We're firm on that on This Week in Marvel.
Yep.
We take a firm stance against Nazis.
Yeah. So, if for nothing else, you read that. But if you like Loki,
Yeah.
It's a very Loki-centric.
It's fun. It's crossover. Fun just seeing different heroes fight different villains.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a neat gimmick.
Yeah. Dan Bochiccio also tweets, new tweeter to the cast, listener since episode 24, great podcast. Thank you very much, Dan. Very glad to have you. Another one from Dan tweets, I'm a math teacher at E.O. Smith High School in Storrs, Connecticut. I've donated over 400 graphic novels to the library.
Very cool. Very cool, man.
Help? I don't know what the help is.
I think he wants more graphic novels to contribute.
Stuff. You know, I think everybody has their own way of donating. I give all my stuff that I don't keep to people visiting the Marvel office, or sometimes I'll give them to kids. Or,
yeah, a lot of mine will go to Goodwill.
Yeah, leave them on the subway once in a while just for someone else to pick them up.
Blake heats his house with them.
Yes. I was going to let him be a part of the Blake Brigade.
Oh, yeah? His,
for teaching. Honorary member.
Yeah, you'll be out next week.
Yeah, you'll do something.
Do something to piss him off.
And finally,
what's the difference between being an honorary member and being a member? Is membership I'd that exclusive?
I'd let him be a member.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Okay.
We have hats.
Finally, Dan tweets, all Illuminati books have tied back in. Where's the Beyonder? Exiles show up to repair our reality? X-Force. Wow. Enough said.
That was very stream of consciousness.
Yeah, it was.
I liked it.
I loved it.
I don't know what it meant, but it was great.
Beyonder, there was a great Beyonder story in the Illuminati new... I think that was the last time we saw Beyonder.
Illuminati. Yeah, that was the last appearance of Beyonder.
Yeah.
Chronologically, Beyonder was in Annihilation, sort of.
Was he?
He... In some 80s or 90s stories, he, like, morphed into a new character. I forget the name of which. But that character appeared in Annihilation.
Huh.
And got killed.
Well.
So.
I mean, Annihilus did a lot of bad stuff.
Yep.
All right. We're going over to at David LeRapina. Tweets to you, Ben. First of all, awesome show. And
thanks,
second
man.
Of all, what happened to the Deathlok in Uncanny X-Force?
You are going
to
find out very, very soon. That is not an answer you will have to wait long for. Keep
awesome.
Reading Uncanny X-Force.
Another one from David, tweeting to you again. With the success of Spider Island and Ends of the Earth, does Marvel intend on doing more single book events?
Yeah, I don't think it's a secret that we're definitely looking, in addition to our bigger events like Avengers vs. X-Men, we've definitely been playing around with smaller events, whether, you know, Omega Effect, Divided We Fall. These are across like two or three books. But yeah, certainly Amazing Spider-Man in particular. The editors over there and Dan Slott, the writer, like to do their own events where, you know, they'll drag in other books as kind of ancillary tie-ins, but Amazing Spider-Man's really in the center. And I think that's definitely something that will continue. Those have been done very well, and they've been very good.
Yep. At Jedi Lamon tweets, this guy, Aiden, considers AVX versus a quote-unquote noob comic due to the fun facts. I disagree. Can any comic be considered noobish?
I don't really know what... I guess he's saying because they...
No,
tell you stuff?
I would disagree with this Aiden person.
This Aiden fellow.
Because I think the Versus book is just, it's a fun story. The fun facts are there to be entertaining and to be informative. And if you're joining AVX and you're getting a little bit of these characters, I don't necessarily think it's quote-unquote noobish. But
we know more about Marvel than most. And I think we enjoy the fun facts as much as anybody. We're certainly not noobs.
No. I think the only thing noobish you could look at is something like the All Ages, the Marvel Adventures books, but that's meant to bring in younger readers and people who can find an easier entrance
and
into
really,
the heroes and villains.
Every comic should have a little bit of noobishness to it, because every comic, somebody's first.
Yes.
Be able to
that's the thing you
it.
Always have to remember.
Yeah.
Some of my first comics were like Punisher versus Wolverine story, Avengers West Coast story where Scarlet Witch was crazy. I had no idea what was going on. Could have probably used a little bit more help on that one.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah. Well, it was the 90s.
Yeah. No, it was the 80s.
It was the 80s.
Yes.
I forget how old
Maybe.
We are sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, it was the 80s.
Super
it was
old.
The 80s. All right. Another one from at Jedi Lamond. If you are looking for a nickname for Blake, it should be Fan Betrayer. No hard feelings. I'll find a new beard to praise.
What
Boom.
Is, it's growing back. I was for him, and now I got to shave it.
So you keep earning that nickname.
Yeah. All for you, Jedi Lamond, and then you throw it away.
Fan Betrayer.
Look at that power shuffle of his papers.
This is terrific. At Verti tweets, considering the ongoing and adorable Tom Hiddleston bromance, will regular Twim be renamed Mewling Twim soon? No.
No immediate plans.
But I do like your play on words.
Though. Yeah.
All right. At Greg Filson tweets, just found your show. It's great. Keep up the good work. Hashtag Avengers Assemble. Thank you, Greg.
Yeah.
Appreciate
Blake,
it.
Blake probably hates you after all that nice stuff you just
Thank
said.
Thank you, Greg.
He said through gritted teeth. All right. A bunch from at 1984 Jimbo. James tweets, if you had to pick anybody out of the Marvel Universe to be your arch nemesis, who would it be and why?
Crystal of the Inhumans. I hate Crystal of the Inhumans.
You really do.
She is just terrible. She was with the Human Torch. She was like, oh, I'll wait for you, Johnny. Don't worry about it. And then married Quicksilver. And was like, oh, we're together, Quicksilver. This is great. They had a kid. She cheated on him with some dude. I don't even know if they named him. Just some average guy.
That was probably Blake.
Probably Blake. Then got back together with Quicksilver. Cheated on Quicksilver with the Black Knight. Then went back to Quicksilver. Yeah, I don't know why Quicksilver keeps taking her back. At some point, it was revealed she was with the Sentry. Presumably when she was with somebody else. She's currently with Ronin. I'm sure that's not going to last. She's the worst.
Considering how much you dislike her, you know a whole lot about her.
I know a lot about everything. It's my curse. It's my gift. It's my curse. But yeah, Crystal of the Inhumans is the absolute worst.
Yeah.
And I had to edit a comic with her in it.
Yes.
It was awesome. Thank you, Jay Favre.
As established, I don't like Gambit. Blake?
All right. Jean Grey.
Ooh!
And I'm not even going to touch on the Phoenix side of things. She flirted with Wolverine all the time. Yeah. Made him go crazy, and then she was with Cyclops. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Blake and I have very similar...
I was going to say, you guys have a lot of relationship issues going on here.
We don't like to see anyone, you know, messing around and hurting the people they're with.
Yeah.
It's not a gender thing either, because if there was any male character in the Marvel Universe who did half of what Crystal did, I'd be right there. But there's no one can touch her.
Except for Jean Grey.
Well, she's a female.
That was one person.
Who would your arch nemesis be?
I've been thinking about it, and I haven't found anyone who I would really, you know, get mad at yet.
No.
It might be funny to see Deadpool, but I don't know.
Oof. I wouldn't go up against Deadpool if I were you.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel like it wouldn't end well, but it'd be fun to watch.
I'm going to give you, from John's office, a copy of the Vision and Scarlet Witch miniseries, and by the end of it, you will understand, and you'll be on my side with the Crystal dislike. The worst.
I'm not really sure. Yeah, I'm not really sure.
The interns are too nice. Too nice.
Unacceptable.
We need to just send them out.
You are each docked 5 twin points.
Oof. We'll have to bring Chibonza back in here.
Yeah, seriously. We have sung.
He'd at least have something to say.
All right. At 1984, Jimbo tweets, what book would you choose to give to a friend as their first entry into the world of comics and the Marvel Universe?
Marvel's. Is my answer for that.
Yeah,
usually.
Marvel's is pretty great.
Marvel's it's beautiful, and it also really gives you a sense of, all right, this is who Spider-Man is, this is who the Avengers are, this is who X-Men are, this is how the Marvel Universe works. And I think it also is a good example of what sets the Marvel Universe apart. It is a universe where, you know, the normal people matter, and I just love that book. And I think it's a great first comic for anybody.
Yeah, I think you'd also want to know what kind of stories they're into. If, you know, Marvel's is great general, but maybe if you find out a little bit more, if they know a character from the movies, you know, you can find different things. Always try to tune into their tastes and their interests if you can, because that could help.
Yeah.
And that could further get them along to comics. And then 1984 Jimbo added to that saying, what about Marvel movies or Marvel games? For Marvel movies, Iron Man 1 is a great starting point, and
yeah,
you can go on from
begins.
The rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The first X-Men is pretty good, too. Mm-hmm. As far as games, Marvel Ultimate Alliance is a great one, because that does a lot of the, hey, this is a broad look at the Marvel Universe, and you can get so much out of it.
I agree on both.
At 1984, Jimbo also tweets, if you were stranded on a desert island and could only take one comic, what issue would it be and why?
Whew. I don't ever want to be stranded on a desert island. It's one of my greatest fears.
Now I know what to do if you ever betray me like Blake would.
Yeah. I don't know how you'd get me on Desert Island, but I have a feeling you'd find a way.
You know I would.
You'd find a way. I would pick the issue of X-Force, original X-Force. I don't know the exact number. It was written by Fabian Nicieza. It was drawn by Greg Capullo, where it's right after Executioner's Song. It's the Executioner's Song epilogue, where X-Force decides to go off on their own, break away from Professor Xavier to get new costumes. Just because it pumps me up, them starting their journey, and I would need that on the desert island to motivate me to get off that damn thing.
Fair enough. I would take the last issue of Executioner Song.
Oh, that's pretty good, too.
Such a good story. Nice, fun wrap-up.
So, we're both taking issues of X-Force, both written by the same guy, both drawn by the same guy. You actually have the issue before my issue, so we literally went to a narrow...
How long was Marvel
you know
around?
Scratch
70
that. Years.
Scratch that. I'm going with Infinity Gauntlet number 4,
okay.
Which is the big battle issue.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea that we narrowed our focus
it's so
that
hard,
much,
it's
though.
So hard.
How about you, Blake?
I'm thinking, I don't know, I just got to go with the Claremont X-Men stuff. I don't know what.
No particular
issue? I'll just stick my hand in a box and pull out one.
Famous last words from Blake Garris.
Yes.
Stick my hand in a box.
At 1984, Jimbo tweets, out of all the movies based on the Marvel Universe, which is your personal favorite? I'm going with Avengers, without a doubt.
Avengers recently unseated my previous favorite of Daredevil. Ugh. Knocked it off.
Blake?
Spider-Man 2 or X-Men 2.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, X-Men 2 is in the mix, always. Yep. It's a real good movie.
Fair enough.
Avengers? Avengers was my favorite.
Okay.
I'd have to say Avengers 2. I thought it was just, like, it was really funny, but it was also had really, like, great action scenes, so kind of, like, I thought it was good for everybody, even if you've never seen, you know, a Marvel movie before. It kind of, like, brought everybody in, and you were kind of able to follow it, even if you've never seen anything before.
How is your intern, Blake, so well-spoken and able to articulate her thoughts?
I train them well.
Thank you.
No, but you're not teaching by example, so I want to know how you're teaching.
You'll learn.
All right, let's keep this moving. Another one from that 1984. Jimbo, how many times can you make Strami say episode in one show?
There's no limit.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have the interns do a count at some point.
Yeah.
And the 1984 Jimbo train keeps rolling along. Says, my wife makes handmade gifts and asked me if I fancied something, so I made some picture that we can't see,
yeah,
and we have no internet in this back room, so we can't check it right now.
I'm sure it's beautiful.
Yes, I'm sure it's lovely. James also tweets a picture.
The next are all just pictures of things he has done, and I'm sure
Oh, you know what? I did get to check some of these on Twitter earlier because he was tweeting them. Cool little drawings of Marvel characters. All right. At WBandoy, or at WBandoy, I should say, tweets, recently started listening to This Week in Marvel. Sorry for jumping on the bandwagon late. # Avengers Assemble and # AVX sucked me back in. Jay, no apologies needed.
No problem.
Glad you're enjoying the show and glad you're enjoying Avengers and Avengers vs. X-Men. This one is from at Josh the Bad Guy. Tweets, great job on the audio, guys. Keep up the great work. Love the show. Blake, I guess you've sorted out the audio problems, hopefully.
Maybe he's being sarcastic because he's a bad guy.
I think you're overthinking this.
Yes.
Just take the compliment.
Tweet from at Laser Mountain Monster says, even the Avengers fear Frank the Tank.
That's a pick, and I know I looked at this. I can't remember what it was, though. I want to say it's like his dog or something.
Okay.
I think it was like his dog chasing the... So that means it was probably his kid, and that was just really insulting.
All right.
Because I can't remember.
Yes. Another one from at Laser Mountain Monster. I agree with not wanting Strom on the road trip.
Storm,
sorry. I've got Stromy on the brain.
Yeah, that was a Freudian slip right there.
I agree with not wanting Storm on the road trip, not to piss off Blake, but isn't she claustrophobic?
I'm so mad. Why would you say that?
He agreed with you. Oh, that makes you angry. I'm still wrapping my head around this.
But I mean, you know, you could open the windows for her.
You can have open air. You can put the roof down because the weather is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about rain or cold.
Yep. At TBear220 tweets, love the Blake bashing. Makes my day. Pedro, 10 twin points.
Now, by logic, you should love this guy.
Twirl your mustache more. Mm.
Yeah, because you hate people who compliment
you. Yeah, his name has bear in it.
Yeah? What does that mean? Good or bad?
Let us know if you have a tie.
What?
Going back to the bear, playing the jug. It's a callback.
Wow, okay.
It's a callback.
Let's keep going. At Hawkeyuk tweets, it's pronounced Hawkeye UK, Chubanza, and when are we going to see the mighty Beta Ray Bill next?
I feel like I heard plans for Beta Ray Bill, but I can't remember, and I probably shouldn't reveal anyways, but I think he will be back soon. Also, was just on Avengers vs. Mighty Heroes.
Boom.
Last week.
Boom. Another one from Hawkeye. Loving the podcast, guys. Keep up the good effort from your biggest English fan.
Dirty Lash might have something to say about that. Isn't he from England?
I don't know.
I think he is.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
Some jerk named DeathTron5000 tweets, listening to This Week in Marvel, episode 30. Really looking forward to meeting Blake Garris' Swamp Queen.
I remember you responded to this.
She's not going to come visit because Ben was mean to her.
How was I mean to her? Where was I mean to the Swamp Queen? Just because I mentioned her?
I speak
in great reverence of the Swamp Queen. I would like to meet her.
At QI_HulkUp tweets, is there a trade paperback of Thanos Initiative?
There is. Called Thanos Imperative.
Yes, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you probably couldn't find it because you were searching for the wrong thing.
Yes, Thanos Imperative.
I believe it's also available digitally.
I think so.
Yeah, you can get it. Awesome. Another one from @QI_hookup. Oh, I totally called the two-hit Cap versus Gambit fight.
It seemed like it only took Captain America two hits to take out Gambit, but if you read ABX versus number two, it took a little longer.
Yes. @RandallWoodAU tweets, do you think Boomslang will get another gig in your beloved Serpent Society?
Who's Boomslang?
Of hashtag not enough Aussie superhero / villains.
I don't know who Boomslang is. That sounds awesome.
Randall, you just totally stumped Benjamin Morse, which is crazy.
I want to see Boomslang of the Serpent Society because I don't know who that is. That sounds great.
Terrific.
Yeah.
We're getting to the @RevGimlin section of the podcast.
That's no good for Blake.
Yep.
This is his arch nemesis.
Compliments one of our 0.5 episodes. Thank you. RevGimlin says that episode 29.5 has definitely made him curious about Sherlock and about birds with missiles.
Two things everyone should be interested in.
Yeah. Terrific stuff. Ref Gamlin says, Astonishing X-Men interview episode of This Week in Marvel really supported his decision to order issues 50 and 51 of Astonishing X-Men.
That's great, man. I'm glad we can do that.
And you should check out more of Mike Perkins' art, because he's amazing.
Yeah.
@RefGamlin tweets, Perhaps it's just my innuendo-laden big gay brain, but describing North Star as a black hole was a wince-slash-chuckle moment. I don't remember doing that.
No comment.
But
that was from you and Perkins, probably. I wasn't there.
Maybe. Yeah.
Perkins might have done it.
Oh, Mike's off the reservation. What are you going to do? All right. @RefGimlin says, My twin of the week for last week had to be Hulk Smash Avengers number 4. Gorgeous art and some epic West Coast Avengers material.
You should tweet @JimMcCann and let him know that you enjoyed that, RefGimlin. I'm sure he would appreciate it.
Yeah. @RefGimlin says, Whoever whispered, oh my, after the Lions and Tigers and Bears reference in This Week in Marvel wins the respect. Unless it was Blake Garris. Boom!
I give him points for that.
That was
How many points? You can't just give points.
3.
Ooh. I was the one who said, oh my. You got mad at me for doing it. Ryan did. RefGimlin attacking Blake is going to get him in his good graces.
Yep. Love it. @RefGimlin says, Join me, people of Marvel fandom, in the Ben J. Morse Brigade. Mm-hmm. For proof of his might, listen to the early episode of This Week in Marvel he did solo.
That was a rough week.
I'm going to be in L.A. tomorrow. I could abandon the whole thing, but then you'd have Blake to bounce off of.
Yeah, no, that I literally was in a room by myself. There was no interns. There was no anyone. I recorded the whole thing solo. About 5 minutes in, it kind of dawned on me. I was like, oh, crap, I can't stop. It's terrible. But I appreciate that, RefGimlin. But as I said to him on Twitter, I do not need my own fan club. This Week Marvel is a team effort. Only egomaniacs need their own fan clubs. And, you know, I just don't feel that way.
Yep.
As Blake's eyes bug out of his head.
@RefGimlin tweets, After hearing about it in This Week in Marvel number 29, he downloaded Incredible Hulk number 7.1. Absolutely brilliant. Thanks, gents, for your fab reviews. Thank you, RefGimlin. Make sure you let @JasonAaron on Twitter know that you're enjoying Incredible Hulk and let them know that we turned you on to the issues and make sure to pick up number 8 because it's so good. Final one from @RefGimlin tweeting to Ben says, This should help you work out how to celebrate This Week in Marvel.
It's a link to the same wedding anniversary list that we got earlier in the show.
Nice. Very good. All right. @TheNinja1991 tweets, Lol, I will win. I will see the Avenger the most time in the world. Lol, JK. You got it, Roman. Let us know how many you've gotten to next week. @TheNinja1991 also tweets, I feel sorry for Blake's fans. He's cool, but JK, lol, go Agent M and Ben, in parentheses, I don't know his Twitter name, lol.
It's Ben J. Morse.
He doesn't know anybody.
That's all right. I love it. @TheNinja1991 tweets, So what up with the Hulk? What the lowdown on Red Hulk? Who better, Red or Green? What the Green Hulk doing?
That's a loaded question.
Yep.
What up with the Hulk? Should read Incredible Hulk to find out.
Yep.
What the lowdown on Red Hulk? Read the current Hulk series going all the way back to number 1 on Digital Comics, on the Marvel Comics app to learn that. Who better, Red or Green? They're just different.
Yeah, they're really just different.
Fought a bunch of times. Yep. It's been a draw. And what's Green Hulk doing? Again, read Incredible Hulk, which is actually really good right now.
Yes.
This is a multi-part, so.
Read from the top?
Read from the top. No, it's from the top. Put it in the right order.
@RoninNatus
Ron Shaw.
Yeah, Ron Shaw, who I don't believe we've had on the show before.
I don't think so.
Thank you for joining us. Tweets, I feel the need to get in on this storm/road trip debate. Storm is a moral and upright person and good person. However, road trips are meant to be crazy, awesome, and some laws must be broken in order to achieve master epicness. Storm would hinder this achievement. I agree with Blake, but must respectfully decline membership to his fan club. I want to be in Strami's fan club. By the way, Ronidas is pronounced Ron-in-Nidas.
I wonder if we mispronounced this before or if he's just preempting, saying, hey, I have a hard name to pronounce. Here's how you do it.
Maybe. That was a terrific series of tweets, Ron.
That's a good one.
And you know what? That logic is fair, balanced, and makes sense.
Yep. Unlike Blake's logic, which is just
I don't like her.
Everyone wants to be in Strami's fan club. Duh. And then two, who invited you to my fan club to respectfully decline it? And then why do you have to break laws to go on a road trip? You can have a civilized road trip.
As you're going down the street and you're, you know, whatever they ride on the Dukes of Hazzard with the door missing, I'm sure you're going to be breaking plenty of rules.
The door's not missing, it's just stuck.
Oh, welded shut.
Yes. Sorry, I don't know Dukes of Hazzard as well as you do.
Classic show.
Yeah.
Watch it.
They make you watch that in high school, down in the swamp.
Yeah.
Crazy enough. I actually rather enjoyed the Dukes of Hazzard movie from a few years ago. Directed by the Broken Lizard guys who did Super Troopers, and all the Super Trooper kids cast is in the movie. Yeah. Anyway, that's a tangent. We've got another one from...
Could have taken it even further, which is scary.
Yeah, I know. At Ronanitis tweets, would it be fair to state the Marvel's project is the genesis of the Marvel Universe?
I think it would be more fair to say it's a tale from the early years of the Marvel Universe, same way Marvel's is... It's not the genesis of the Marvel Universe so much. I mean, it tells a bunch of stories that kind of are the form of the genesis of Marvel, but it's what do you consider the Marvel Universe? It talks about how a lot of the Golden Age heroes came to be, but technically we have guys who are set even further in the past. The current S.H.I.E.L.D. book, you know, some stuff like that. So it's an early story, but it's not the genesis.
Yep. At Simon Sebs tweets, just saw Avengers for the second time. Enjoyed it as much as the first. Very glad, Simon. Another one from Simon Sebs. No, you can't talk about upcoming movies, but I would love to see a Heroes for Hire and or Daughters of the Dragon movie.
A lot of Heroes for Hire interest this week.
But you know what? I think Heroes for Hire love is built upon the great series recently, and then seeing Luke Cage and Danny Rand in the animated series. Yes,
and in New Avengers.
Yeah, it's great.
Good stuff.
More from at Simon Sebs. What do you like best about working at Marvel?
I love getting to work. Well, the people are great. I love the people. But
that's the most political answer I've ever heard.
I love that I get to work on something I'm passionate about. I don't go to a job where I'm just, you know, punching a time clock. I love comics. I love the movies we do. I love the product we put out. I actually feel strongly about it. So it's cool to be contributing to something I actually care about.
Yeah, I think that's it. We get to do what we love. People are always like, oh, is that a dream job? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Working at Marvel, I grew up reading comics since I was like 6 or 7 years old. I know everything Marvel. It's this is where it's at.
I know for Blake, it's just the money.
Yeah, all money, all the time.
I was going to say something nice, and then I'm not anymore.
Oh, what were you going to say, Blake? Come on.
It's fun working around a lot of the nerds that are passionate, and they're funny.
You know, strangely enough, for Blake, that's nice.
Very nice.
That's a nice version of Blake. The nerds.
At Simon Sebs Final says... How are the prices for comics decided? Why are some $3 and other $4? Is there any way to bring the prices down? I don't really know how they're decided.
Dan Buckley talks about this sometimes at conventions. If you ever go to a comic convention where Dan Buckley's going to be on one of the panels, definitely go. It's always really interesting, very educational. And, you know, we interview him sometimes on our Marvel Live shows at the conventions. He can answer this question way better than we possibly can.
Keeping the cost down is not an easy thing. A lot of people are involved in every issue. You got to think, a retailer buys a comic and it costs them $2, give or take, whatever their cost is for the comic. So all the people involved are getting paid out of that money. Then there's also, you have to make sure it's not as simple as, you know, raise the price, lower the price. There's a lot of factors that go into it. And hopefully we're giving you as much value out of your hard-earned dollars as we possibly can. And, you know, the $4 comics all will soon come with the download codes. So that will hopefully be something that's important to you.
And the reason why some cost $3 and some cost $4, that has a lot to do with sales figures. You know, some books that sell better can be priced more. Some books that sell less. It's more if we're trying to get people to try out a book that maybe not as many people try out, we'll try to lower the price on that specifically. So, you know, to give new books a chance because it's healthy for the market and the industry. A
lot of ways around it. At Ngaji tweets, I think the hat name you are looking for is Fedora. Stetsons are cowboy hats.
That's correct. That was when we were talking about Mr. Fix-It last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's exactly a fedora.
Could have been a fedora, though. It's a reasonable guess.
Yes. We've got a couple of replies from at Chubanza to Ngaji.
Yes, Chubanza organized this file, so of course he made sure that we wouldn't miss his replies.
Yes. So in response to the Stetson comment, Chubanza says, yes, I was thinking too much about Doctor Who. Stetsons are cool. Chubanza also says, I have seen Stetson fedoras, and I feel like Mr. Fix-It would wear one.
I could not be less interested in this conversation.
I agree.
This is the most uninteresting exchange in the history of This Week in Marvel.
Another one from at Ngaji says, serious important question. Where is Jolt these days? From the Thunderbolts? I miss her.
That's a good question. I remember last we saw her, she was on Counter-Earth. She got put there in the Thunderbolts series. She was briefly seen in Avengers Thunderbolts. But then when Onslaught Reborn came about, he redid Counter-Earth. So things aren't looking good. Old Jolt. Jolt. Jolt was a cool character.
Okay. Final question of the week is more of a comment and is from at Walt Disney World Tiki Room.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of the Marvel app. Must get a tablet now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad you're enjoying it. Yeah, that's about it. We're wrapping up. Been a long one, even though we have a few comics, a lot of questions. Thank you, everyone, for tweeting. Thank you to the interns for helping put this together. Thank you to Blake, Ben, and Strami for being on it with me.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Or whatever
we big deal. Just normal day. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. This is Marvel, your universe.